Peter, chapter 1 and verse 5, and while you're looking that up, I know that you're going to remember this from the very long teaching we did on fail-proof living, how to live your life victoriously as an overcomer, as more than a conqueror, winning type quality of life. And I commented about Peter's incredible revelation of these things. He did okay for a fisherman. But then when Jesus called him to be a fisher of men, that changed his life. So when we read that verse, Peter talked about, and besides this, all that he had said previous to that, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And there's a series of things in the believer's life as we grow into, as we mature into. We spent a lot of weeks looking at each one of those. But the word diligence, I didn't really talk a lot about that. And all this week, that word kept coming up in my spirit. And so I always know that when that happens, that's generally how an opening scripture comes, because right out of nowhere, it'll just come to the surface, and I can't seem to stop thinking about it. And diligence has some interesting definitions. And then we're going to look at how important diligence really is. Diligence means prompt, earnest, eager, perfect, or persistence. All of those words describe what diligence means. And these are from Strong's Concordance. If you Bible scholars have a Strong's Concordance, there you'll find a really accurate biblical definition of words, plus every place in the Bible that word appears, New and Old Testaments. But knowing these definitions of what words mean when you see them in scriptures are real key to understanding the whole verse. Sometimes when Jesse and I meet on Tuesdays, we have a Bible study together, and he has questions. So we end up looking up the word that he has a question about. And it's a fantastic way to really find out what words mean, is how they're used in Scripture. And so diligence is more than just doing something. Many years ago, I brought that word up in a Bible study, and it really angered a person who was having issues. And because it was a trigger word, when I said diligence, right away, there was a manifestation of the biggest church hissy fit I'd ever seen in all the years I've been here. Because that person was really affected. You mean I got to do something? I do this, I do that, blah, blah, blah. And all of this venomous poison contaminated the atmosphere. And it was like, wow, it's spelled with a small D. You know, when you learn to text, you know what the other person's thinking if you put it in capitals. Man, you just crossed the red line. You just crossed the Red Sea of trouble. You don't ever text with all in capitals, because if you do that, boy, you're going to offend half of the network you're hooked up with. So when I say small D, you know, that's what I'm talking about. But it's more than just doing something, but how do we do it? What is our attitude? What's our mindset? What is our motive? Diligence incorporates all of those things. When studying something, I always look these definitions up, because they're really going to bring a more complete picture to the topic you're studying. Look up some of these words and see what they mean. And it'll help you get wisdom and understanding, like Proverbs. Proverbs talks about get wisdom, get understanding, and knowledge. Those things are really key. So we're going to look at a few verses about diligence. Let me see. How many do I want to do? I'll start off with the first one. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. I think I have about four, so that you can kind of get a flavor of how that word is used and what it means and how can that impact our lives, because I don't just like to just talk stuff. My intent is to bring something spiritual, to impart that so that we can all benefit from it, learn from it, and apply that in our faith walks individually, but also as a body. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Now that's, if I stop there, that sounds like, if I don't have any faith, God's not going to be happy with me. But read a little further. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. That he is who he says he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what if you took the word diligently out? Was that mine? I better turn mine off. I'm getting a diligent word. There. Okay. Without faith. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, if you use the definition of diligent, it's not just doing something. It's not just having something, but how we do it. When we come to the Lord, do we come in faith, trusting and believing, even before you see any evidence, even before you see any proof, when you hear the words from Scripture, when they're read to you, or when you're reading them yourselves, how do you receive them? Do you use diligence to take what you heard and apply it? Because that's where the quality of life for a believer is going to make a lot of sense. It'll be really, it will help you get rooted and grounded in your faith walk, so that when you're having a bad day, it won't last that long. When you're having a bad week, it won't last that long, because it lasted too long already if it went a week. Diligently means to earnestly apply, earnestly take that word and put it to good use. Diligently seek him, not just casually, not just when we have a need, but in every aspect of life. And then if you might have an attitude, well, gosh, do I have to seek God for every decision I make? Well, it's helpful. I'll just say that, it's helpful. He already knows the decision you're going to make, and he's like, no, don't make that one, don't do that. But you did it, and then you find out, oh, that wasn't too good, that didn't work out too well. But this is important to all of us in our faith walk, and I want to give you an example. Okay. How many of you have a backyard where you live? Lots of backyards. Okay, we're going to do a little backyard boogie here. I'm going to pretend that I had $1 million and God told me I could give it to whomever I wanted to. But I'm not going to tell you which one it is. And even if I knew who it would be for, I wouldn't tell you until after I had done the deed. I'm going to come to your house, and I'm going to bury that $1 million in your backyard. And then, after the grass grows back and everything's back to normal. But actually, I would cut a square of sod out so you couldn't tell. And then I would say, I hid that money in your backyard, $1 million. So my question is, I'm not going to tell you where I hid it, just in your backyard. How long would you search and dig for it? Well, that's the right answer. But you wouldn't know how deep it is. You wouldn't know where it is. But how big is your desire to find it if you knew it was there? And what if I told you I buried it down 18 feet and told you you had to find it by hand? No shovels. There's $1 million buried 18 feet down in your backyard. Would you lose your desire? See, these are really honest questions, because the comparison is, sometimes there are things hidden in the Word of God that are going to be of great benefit to us. How long and to what extent are we going to dig through until we find out? And then are we going to argue with God? Are we going to ask Him, are you sure? Can you imagine asking God if He's sure about making a decision He made? That's not even faith. That's absolute foolishness right there. God is always sure. God is always certain. He's always right. But this thing about burying that money in your backyard is like finding the riches and treasures of the kingdom of God that are revealed in this word. But we have to be willing to dig and search. And oh, that's the pastor's job. Hogwash, that's your job too. You're saved just as much as me. And you have the word of God working in your lives. But are you diligent? Do any of you ever go home, those of you that take notes, and look these scriptures up again? Because we only have a few minutes on Sunday, really. Do you go home and pursue those and think them through a little further to see how they can benefit you and help you when you're not having the greatest of days? Because the best time to praise the Lord is when you don't feel like it. The best time to read is when there's a really good movie on that you wanted to watch, but the Spirit is compelling you. Come to my word. Come to my word. Come to my word. And you know, there are people who, someone who wants that money badly enough is going to dig until they find it. And that's why when I asked that question, Jana said, as long as it takes to find it. That is the right answer. But between the now and the then is the issue. And that's where diligence comes in, between the now and the when something is manifest, when something is revealed to you, when understanding comes, when knowledge comes, when truth comes. There may be a period of time when Faith and I first got saved, we were told, just put it on the shelf for now. And eventually, you don't forget it's there. But eventually, as we're diligent about these things, it will come. The understanding will come. The knowledge will come. The revelation will come. So even though we literally don't have more than today to do this, it's kind of like I hopefully introduce you to something, but to follow through with it, if something sparked you to look at that a little more. Another example, this is in the scriptures. You remember, it isn't vain repetition either. Diligence is when you do something because you have a strong desire. It's something you want to do. Now, let's look at the the account of the woman with the issue of blood. You can find that in Mark's gospel. It's also in Matthew chapter 5. But you remember, there was a whole crowd of people passing through, and Jesus was on his way over to Jairus' house. Jairus had made a statement of faith previous to this, and he asked Jesus, he said, "If you will come, my daughter is lying near the point of death, but if you come and lay your hands on her, she shall live." Where does diligence come in? Jairus had to wait. There was a little interference by another person in the crowd that was passing through. My tendency might have been, every second that Jesus wastes talking to somebody else, my daughter is getting closer to death. Diligence will have to wait for a period of time and be faithful about that waiting time. And he did. And so what happened? The woman with the issue of blood, and under the law, she shouldn't have been out in public anyways, but she heard that Jesus was in the crowd. And she herself, I don't know how physically strong she was. She had this issue for something like 12 or 14 years. And I would imagine that she might not have been very strong physically, but she was determined. And she made a statement of faith. If I may touch the hem of his garment, that's all I got to do. I just got to get through all of these people to get to him. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. Diligence, no matter what the crowd screamed, no matter what the religious people screamed, she exercised diligence, and whatever it takes, however long it takes, how it happens, I'm going to get to him, and I am going to touch the hem of his garment, and I am going to be healed. Diligence will motivate you in a right way. When you know what to do and you have a certainty about something, diligence is going to bridge the gap between the starting time and the finish time. Diligence is what you got to have with faith. That's how this started. Diligence will see your faith come to pass. And in both instances, a happy ending happened. But when Jesus dealt with the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus had the opportunity to think, "Will you hurry up?" But diligence kept him strong. He made a statement of faith and he hung on to it. And he saw the miracle. Persistence and faith are one of the truest things about diligence. So you'll find that word repeated many times in scriptures in different applications. But today, maybe, perchance, you'll take a word like that, and it won't be a trigger word to send off your fire of resentment, like what I experienced that night at Bible study in front of everybody. How, who would have known? But you see, to that person, it meant entirely something else. And so I tried to invent another word if I ever had to use diligence again. You know, when you speak publicly, sometimes you'll run into that. It's risky. But I know you, and diligence will be good because I'm a diligent person. I have an end goal in mind. I want to see you all fully maturing and growing in all of your gifts, all of your skills, all of your talents, and I want to see you increasing in knowledge, increasing in wisdom, increasing in the goodness and richness of your relationships with the Lord, with family stuff, all those kind of things that we have, even Christians have families, and to see all of those things come to pass in your life, and I have the diligence to see it through with each of you. And on February coming, it seems like it's coming fast, it'll be 36 years of diligence to see these things come to pass, and I'm so proud of you. I really am, because I knew some of you from the beginning, and you're still here, and you're still learning, you're still growing, you're still doing life. But you do it with patience and faith and diligence, and that's a winning combination. You will succeed. Your dreams will come to pass. Your visions, don't lose your visions, because without, God said, without a vision, the people perish. You've got to have a vision for your life and see it as God sees it, because if you don't, you'll fall short. But not now. It's huggy break time.